Sokala Duma Radio.
A very good afternoon and welcome to yet another episode of Sokala Duma Radio. It's a Friday and we are live. My name is Shane Matsoyane and I will be with you for the next 45 minutes or so. Well, after a few days, a 30-man squad that was announced by Coach Stuart Baxter, a provisional squad rather, was announced by Coach Stuart Baxter for the upcoming Africa Cup of Nations that will be hosted in Egypt next month. The squad will have to be cut down to 23 players before the tournament starts on the 15th of June. Earlier on today, we caught up with Coach Stuart Baxter on how our conversation went.
Sokala Duma Radio.
On the line, we've got Bafana coach, that is Coach Stuart Baxter. Coach Baxter, welcome to Sokala Duma Radio Live. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Coach, we now approaching AFCON and we are just a few weeks away from the AFCON in Egypt. Please take us through the process of selecting your Bafana squad, Coach. What are you looking for when you're selecting a player for Bafana?
Well, the squad has to be balanced in many ways. It needs to be balanced in terms of characters, in terms of capabilities, and in terms of the long-term development program that you need to be making sure that for the future you're giving the players that you believe will be important in the future, you're giving them valuable international game time if it's all possible. So it's a process that means that sometimes what may be the player in form, or the player who's the favourite of everybody, sometimes doesn't get selected because he doesn't make the team the best team. Mm. You know, he sometimes maybe he's a bit too individualistic, or his character is not. If he gets left out of the team, he sulks or whatever. You know, so there's a lot of things to think about.
Earlier, you spoke about players like a character. I mean, who are those characters, Coach?
Well, to start with, we've got an excellent captain,
sure.
Tyson, who's a real character.
Mm.
You know, we've had, if I'm talking about the players that have been playing through the AFCON qualifiers, like when we went to Libya, to Tunisia and played Libya, you know, you saw a lot of character in the team, which was pleasing. People like Makocho, Dean Furman, Tyson, you know, these people came up. Darren Keith showed his strength, of his mental strength, you know. So lots of them.
Yeah.
And you have to say, even though you're not a Tyson in the tackle, Percy Tau, he showed character. You know, he has an average first half, but then explodes in the second half and scores two great goals. So that is also character. You know, that's also bravery.
And Coach, when you talk about character, one will reflect back to the fact that you selected like a player like Ramahlo Mphahlele. I mean, you spoke about individual performance from players. Ramahlo Mphahlele, who some might say didn't have the best of seasons for Kaizer Chiefs, while on the other side, you've got a player like Thapelo Morena, who played almost every game for Sundowns this season, producing super performance, also playing in the CAF Champions League. Now, when you compare those two players, one will say Thapelo Morena has an advantage over Ramahlo Mphahlele, but Coach has his own reasons. What are those reasons, Coach, that you selected Ramahlo Mphahlele on?
I think it's almost impossible to compare two players with such vastly different skill sets. You know, Thapelo Morena has not been, he hasn't played as a right back for Sundowns for quite a long time.
Mm.
So if I'm picking him as a right back and he's never been with me before, is this the time to send him to school and say, okay, can you understand the way we play?
Sure.
And given the fact you haven't played right back for a long time, can you adapt?
Mm.
That's one consideration. Second consideration is I would agree with people who say that Rama has not had a great season.
Sure.
I would agree. Mm. I'm guessing that that's got a lot of reasons to do with the changes of coaches at the club, his injuries, and yet the thing between his ears doesn't change.
Yeah.
So, you know, what he knows and his experience, that doesn't change. So, for me, Rama has played right back. He can play as a centre-back. He can play as a wing back. Rama's got the ability. Now, can we bring back his confidence and say that, well, he didn't have a great season, but he did have a good AFCON, you know? So,
sure.
I would say it's very difficult, but it's very difficult to directly compare people because they have different skill sets.
Now, Coach, when you're looking at your opponents, I mean, we've got Ivory Coast, we've got Morocco. I mean, who have most of their players playing in Europe and are regulars in some of the top leagues there? I mean, does that give them any psychological advantage over Bafana, in your opinion?
Look, if you look at their team, if you look at the squads of those two nations, and if you take it on paper, then probably it's not worth us turning up, you know, because everybody will say, oh, they have so many players playing in Premier League or La Liga. Yeah, I get that. Mm-hmm. I get that. But when the match is on and there's 22 players on the field, it's not just about where they're playing.
Sure.
It's how they apply themselves. It's about how well we can apply ourselves. It's about how much we are a team and how much maybe they are individuals. You know, so, and yet we are not South Africans. Are not the classic team because we also have a lot of individual skills. So, you know, on the day, if it was only about where they played, they would beat us.
Sure.
But it's not only about that. Burkina Faso, when we beat them in Joburg, they had a lot of players playing in Europe. Senegal with Mane, we played two very, very close games with them. So, you know, Nigeria, if you look at their squad, where they are playing, then don't even go to Nigeria because it's a waste of time. But we beat them 2-0. Mm. So I would say that I admire their squads. They have some great players.
Sure.
They're playing in the best leagues. But when they're eye to eye and we're on the other side of the field, I still think we can beat them.
When you look at your opponents, like in your group, are there any things that you have noticed which might have influenced your selection for Bafana?
Well, I think it's influenced the squad. It's influenced nothing that I'm going to give away at this present time and say this is what I've seen. But
sure. It's
influenced the selection of the squad because in the selection of the squad, I've got to have some tactical flexibility.
Mm.
And obviously, the tactical flexibility of in my mind now, I've got, well, against them we can play this way. Against them we can play this way, and against them we can play this way. It may not be the same. And so the selection of the squad has got to allow me to do that.
Yeah.
So in as much as what I've seen has affected certain things, but has it been, am I only thinking of them? No, because I'm also thinking of what we can do.
Can you give us a specific example of that influence in a group over players who are playing in South Africa?
No, I don't think necessarily players playing in Europe have got any gift that suddenly they will bring to the table. You have to believe that the players playing in Europe have got some qualities that, or have developed some qualities that maybe we don't develop by playing at home. But that doesn't mean that they're better players automatically. Mm. You know, but you've got to believe that they have some qualities that will add to the flavour and not detract from it.
Yeah.
I think looking at our opponents is more important. It's looking at the opponents and saying, well, we know that Ivory Coast, the first game up, is going to be a test of both nerves and tactical knowledge and our skills.
Mm.
And we may want to play in one way against them. Now, when you play in Namibia, that is going to be a derby game. It's going to be a bit of a war. You know, we're going to have to be physically strong and mentally strong and maybe play a little bit more resolute.
Mm.
But the third game, we have to have tactical flexibility because we want to be able to adapt and say, okay, tactically, we know we need this result and therefore we can play in this way. Now, maybe if you're asking me that question, the players that play in Europe, maybe they develop that tactical flexibility that maybe we don't need.
Mm-hmm. Now, Coach, in our group also, I mean, we've got the less fancied side, some might say. I'm talking about Namibia. We remember in the qualifiers, we had a situation where we drew a game with Seychelles when everyone expected Bafana to walk over them. Now, how do you, as a coach, make sure that such instances do not repeat themselves, especially not in a tournament like the AFCON?
Well, you've got to say that this is not something that just reared its head against the Seychelles. This is something that has plagued South African football for maybe the last 20 years. You know, there are cases of this all the time. So this is obviously something that is on a mental level and not on a technical, tactical level. So what I think has been developing has been a more as a mental strength in the squad. Now, I'm hoping that the work that we've done there will help to stop more of this sort of underachieving. Sometimes people automatically say that the players didn't try or the players didn't do this or they didn't do that. And many times it's like, why do Kaiser Chiefs lose to Galaxy? Was it that Galaxy played like Real Madrid, or was it a mixture of Galaxy having the freedom to play and Kaiser Chiefs being burdened with the role of being favourites? And that is what happens, you know, and that's, so we have got to stop being burdened, because it looks like then that you're not running enough or you're not tackling. But the reality is that you feel like you're running with a weight on your back and the negatives take over. So we've got to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Sure.
And then if that doesn't happen, then you'll see a normal South African performance. And if a normal South African performance, I think that gives us a victory.
Wow. Right, Coach. Now, Coach, let's talk about the goalkeeping department. I know that all over the world, every country, they've got that number one that they always depend on. We go to Spain, they've got De Gea. We go to Germany, they've got Michael Neuer. Even here in South Africa, we have our number one. I might say that Itumeleng Khune is our number one. But now, when you're in a situation where your number one is unavailable, do you consult like your goalkeeper coach, and select the goalkeepers? What do you look for in the goalkeepers that you are currently looking at? Was goalkeeper coach Andre Arendse involved in selecting the Bafana Bafana goalkeeper?
The goalkeeper coaches are always, I always confer with them about their opinions about the potential goalkeepers. And then also, always on camp, I always ask them in training who was the one that was showing the best form, and so in that way they're always involved. And then you choose the goalkeeper that's more suitable for that opponent.
Sure.
If you think one of the goalkeepers is more of a shot stopper, and you're playing against a team that presses us back and has shots from outside the box, maybe you select him. And if it's one that we're going to force them to hit early long balls, then maybe you get one that's a little bit more aggressive on crosses, you know. So I think the case of Itu is a difficult one, because Itu has been away from football now for quite a long time, but yet we still talk about Itu as being number one. You know, that's difficult for the other goalkeepers, I'm sure, to deal with. So I'm sure even Itu would like to say to the other goalkeepers, listen, one of you is number one at this moment. When I get fit, I want to come back and show you that I am still number one. But in the meantime, you know, I'm sure that Itu wishes them all the best so that they can prove that at this moment they are number one. And I think that would be the case in most countries of the world.
Wow. Coach, thank you so much for your time and taking your time off your busy schedule and talking to us on Sokala Duma Radio. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you.
Sokala Duma Radio.
And that was the conversation we had earlier today with Coach Stuart Baxter. And to tell us more about Bafana Bafana selection, I have a fine panel of gentlemen here. I've got the former Cowdita himself, Glenn Roper. There's also Ubud Beaver Nazo. Gentlemen, welcome to Sokala Duma Radio Live. Ubud Beavs, let me start with you. When the squad was announced, were there any players that you thought they will make it to Egypt next month? Or do you believe the soldiers chosen by Coach Stuart Baxter can do the job for Bafana?
Well, I think it's a fairly balanced team that Coach Stuart has selected. As people who are bystanders, we'll always have players that we think should be added or should have been there. But the matter of the fact is, he's the one who's calling the shots and he's the one who knows his plan for the AFCON.
Sure.
So, he's answered the question that I had about Morena having played the CAF Champions League and almost every game of the league for Sundowns. And then Rama Mphahlele being selected ahead of him. But now that he has explained it when he was talking to you, then I understand exactly why he didn't select Morena. Yeah. He went for Rama instead.
Yeah, and he's made it quite clear about Judy. Thapelo Morena last played right back for Sundowns months ago, and that Ramatlo Mphahlele has been there consistently. Clint, your thoughts on the conversation we had with Stuart Baxter?
Yeah, I think Stuart is always he's thoughtful about what he does. You can hear he's measured when he speaks. He doesn't want to put a foot wrong, and he's obviously. Look, Baxter's got no agenda. He's got no affiliation. He's got no reason to select a Kaizer Chiefs player over a Sundowns player over a Pirates player. He's judged by how the nation does, and so he'll want his strongest team available. I thought it was very interesting, the question you asked regarding Itumeleng Khune. And there've been suggestions in the media that maybe he was wanted for the squad, and possibly that may have been halted due to him just coming back from an injury and possibly Chiefs wanting him 100% for the start of the new season, so you can understand that. But it's a balanced squad. I think what the squad lacks going into that group of death, that group D, is the international experience at higher levels that the likes of our opponents have in their teams. And if there's one disappointing thing about Bafana going into any African tournament, major tournament, is that none of our players are really performing on the biggest stages of the world. We don't have a player playing in the English Premier League week in and week out in a top five team or a top eight team. We don't have one in Spain. We don't have one in Italy. We don't have one in France. We have players who are playing in leagues that maybe are not too much better or possibly are even weaker than the PSL. Earning foreign money, yes, but possibly not getting the experience that other African players are getting. African players that are playing in La Liga, are playing in the English Premier League, and that's a little worrying.
Yeah, and Tabiba, let me bring it back to you. You mentioned something about Stuart Baxter, that he's the one who's in charge. Yes, we understand, but do you believe that all the PSL top performers are there in that squad as... We know his squad consists mostly of players who are playing here in the PSL, and Clint has rightfully so said, we don't have those players who are playing in those top leagues in Europe. And as he said, with all due respect to Pesitao as well, he's playing in Belgium, and he's not playing in the top one division. He's playing in the third division in Belgium. But how vital will the player like Aubry Modiba, your Thapelo Morena, as I've asked Stuart Baxter, how vital will those players be for Bafana going into this AFCON?
Look, there's something that Stuart said when he was talking to you about Ramahle, for an example, being there in the national team before. I mean, those two haven't been consistently been in Bafana. Mm. So that's another advantage for Rama and the others that have been selected. Sure. I mean, I would say the core of the PSL is there. I mean, you've got your player of the season, footballer of the season, Temigosi Lodge, he is there. You've got Cape Town City's player of the season and captain, Kize, sure, who's on top form at the moment, is there. I mean, you name them, your Hlompho Kekanas, your Tiani Mabundas, those guys have the experience of playing in the CAF Champions League. Sure. And they've got Bafana experience as well. I mean, they were there in the qualifiers. So I think... Stuart has selected a fairly balanced team.
Clint, when you look at nations like Morocco 5-7 years ago, Bafana will compete or better still beat them. But 2019, we have a Morocco team that has a group of international stars like your Ajax Amsterdam Wonder Kid, Hakim Ziyech. But Morocco and Bafana in 2019, can we expect a different performance from Morocco in this tournament?
I mean, I think you've hit the nail on the head. So Morocco have got Hakim, who's a fantastic player. We saw him in the Champions League performing at the highest level. Let's rewind back a couple of years, and possibly to the first one who opened the door was Benny McCarthy, who went to Ajax Amsterdam and was performing at the highest level and competing for a place in a top team with top players with Champions League experience. Then you fast forward a bit and Steven Pienaar took that journey. There were a couple of others that went to Ajax Amsterdam, South African players, who maybe didn't make the grade Ninja, I think, comes to mind. Stanton Lewis, I think, was there for a while. But they were there. They were knocking at the door. They were deemed good enough by Ajax to be part of that setup. And they cast their net far and wide throughout the world to get the best youngsters. So we had a steady stream of youngsters going through there. Serrero, who went there and scored that incredible goal against Barcelona, I think it was, if I'm not mistaken. That's the kind of quality we had to pull on for the national team back in the day. Who was the last player to score a goal against Barcelona in a Champions League game? Who was the last player to play in a Champions League game in a final, in the final fixtures? We had Champions League winners in Benny McCarthy. So it's frustrating. We go into this AFCON similar to the Nedbank Cup. When we play a Morocco or a big African side, it's almost like we are the TS Galaxy of that game, coming up against an unfancied Bafana versus the giant, like Kaizer Chiefs was. And if we beat them or overturn them, the only thing in our favor is we underdogs. But I don't like us to be underdogs. Nigeria is never an underdog. Morocco isn't an underdog. They go into a game and they are the Spains and the Argentinas and the Brazils of the African continent. They go in there wanting to boss the field. Why must Bafana walk onto these fields as underdogs when we have a spectacular domestic league with millions and millions of money, with all the resources, with the best played players on the continent, yet we go there with our tails between our legs and we hope to sneak a win because we're the smaller side? And the only team, and this is maybe even more embarrassing, that we go in as favourites against is Namibia. Is that right? Is that the so we go in and say yes, well, but we go in as favorites against Namibia, and that's something that, it's not something that Baxter can change as national team coach. He can only work with what he can work with. It's something that Safa has been singing about for I've been a journo for 20 years now, and when I used to speak to Safa 20 years ago, the old song was grassroots football. We can't start at the top; we got to start at the bottom. Well, it's 20 years on, and the same song still gets sung. It's grassroots. That's where we need to start with this. Yes, under-20s are at a World Cup. That's a move in the right direction, and hopefully something comes of that. But if we're honest, Bafana at this AFCON goes in as underdogs. We hope to get out of that group. If we do, anything can happen. It's tournament football. Baxter certainly has shown his credibility as a national team coach, and we wish him all the best.
Wow.
What we haven't seen in that squad, and maybe this helped when we did win the AFCON, is who's the Muti man and is the concoction strong enough to overcome the likes of Morocco? So we'll get the Sia sources on top of that one and see who we're taking along this time around.
All right, as we wrap up the Bafana segment, remember AFCON, it starts on the 15th of June up until the 15th of July. Now, this brings us to the end of this Bafana segment.
Sokala Duma Radio.